Live from NPR News, I'm Korva Coleman. House managers will continue prosecuting the Senate impeachment trial against former President Donald Trump today. They'll focus on the damage committed by pro-Trump extremists when they attacked the U.S. Capitol. On Wednesday, managers showed graphic video of police officers being attacked by the rioters. NPR's Barbara Sprunt reports some senators were shaken.
Hawaii Democrat Mazie Hirono called the footage, quote, horrifying. Utah Republican Mitt Romney said viewing the videos was an emotional experience.
It tears at your heart and brings tears to your eyes. That was overwhelmingly distressing.
Whether the footage moves the needle on Republicans' willingness to convict the former president for his role that day remains to be seen. John Thune of South Dakota said impeachment managers have done a good job connecting the dots between the Capitol insurrection and Trump's past actions. But Ted Cruz of Texas still says he doesn't see evidence linking the attack to Trump's rhetoric. Barbara Sprunt, NPR News, Washington.
About 4 in 10 Republicans say violent actions may be necessary in America if political leaders are not protecting the country. NPR's Tom Jolton reports that's the finding in a new survey from the American Enterprise Institute.
The AEI survey was completed in late January after the assault on the U.S. Capitol. The results present a stark picture of political division with a high level of anger among Republicans in particular. 8 in 10 said the political system is stacked against conservatives. 4 in 10 agreed that if elected leaders won't protect America, quote, the people must do it themselves, even if it requires taking violent action. Daniel Cox is the survey director.
I think anytime you have a significant number of the public saying that use of force can be justified in our political system, that's pretty scary.
One indication of how political extremism seems to have gotten a foothold in America. Tom Jolton, NPR News, Washington.
The coronavirus pandemic has taken a turn for the better. There's been a steady decline in cases, hospitalizations, and deaths across the U.S. Will Stone reports the turnaround comes as the U.S. confronts the emergence of the more contagious variants of the virus.
It's a striking shift in the U.S. outbreak, with cases down about 35% from 2 weeks ago. Hospitalizations have fallen dramatically, too, since mid-January. Experts say there are many reasons why this is happening. People are being more careful. The holiday did not bring as bad a surge as predicted. The weather is changing in some places, and growing pockets of immunity could all be contributing.
Will Stone reporting. Later today, President Biden will visit the National Institutes of Health. He'll speak to a group of NIH staffers. This is NPR. Pornographer and free speech advocate Larry Flint has died in Los Angeles. His brother confirmed his death, but no cause was given. Flint was 78. NPR's Netta Ulaby reports he won a First Amendment victory at the Supreme Court in 1988.
Larry Flint was at once a tireless activist for free speech and a foe to feminists who loved saying things on NPR like,
"Women will always be a sex symbol, and that's human nature, and you're never going to be able to change that."
Flint's magazine, Hustler, was smutty, irreverent, and pushed the buttons of people like televangelist Jerry Falwell. His lawsuit against Flint resulted in a landmark First Amendment case that established Flint as a free speech folk hero as well as a hardcore pornographer. The complications of being both are Larry Flint's legacy. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
The head of Japan's Olympic Organizing Committee is expected to quit. Japanese news agencies say Yoshiro Mori will resign after facing backlash for making sexist remarks about women more than a week ago. He had made an apology and initially refused to step down. Outrage continued to grow. Hundreds of Japanese Olympic volunteers resigned. The NBA has reiterated its policy that the national anthem will be played before home games this season. Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban had suspended playing it, saying that he wanted to represent the voices of those who feel the national anthem does not represent them. Backlash was heavy, especially in Texas. Cuban changed his mind, and a pre-recorded version of the anthem was played at a Dallas Mavericks game last night. This is NPR.